The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the most important reasons for celebrating All Saints' Day is that it reminds us of the fact that this life is not all there is. Almost without exception in our culture, this world and the things of this world are the sole focus of concern. We attend to them as if they were the only thing that is real and true and of value. We store up treasures for ourselves in IRAs and 401ks so that when we retire, we will have something to sustain us. We devote our time and energy and efforts to work and home and family, all wonderful gifts of God, don't get me wrong. But isn't it easy to devote your time and energy and efforts to work and home and family as if they were all that there is? As if they had the only ultimate value? To such a large degree as to be effectually exclusive, our hopes and our dreams and our goals are focused on this life. After graduation, we say, or once we're married, or with a new job, in the new house, when we can finally retire. In the midst of busy days focused on such earthly matters, the Feast of All Saints lets a breath of the fresh air of heaven into our lives and reminds us that this earth, with all of its work and challenges and blessings, is not the only, indeed not even the most important thing. There will break a yet more glorious day when the saints triumphant will rise in bright array and the King of Glory will pass by on his way. A new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, is in your future. This earthly life that you're living is not all there is. Not by a long shot. Think of it. Everything you see around you, so much of what you treasure and devote your energies to doing or getting or taking care of, will pass away. No more than 100 years from now, and far fewer than that for the majority of us here today, all of these things will be forgotten. As a dream dies at the opening day, they will have faded into insignificance. Do you remember your grade in the second term math class when you were a freshman in high school? There was a time when that, or something like it, was the urgent focus of your thoughts and energies. As it has faded from importance, so in the light of God's glory in heaven will be so much of what consumes your efforts and energies today. The celebration of All Saints' Day reminds us that this life is not all there is. There are oh so many people, among them our family and friends, who even now have been released from all of the cares that so concern us, who are already at rest in the presence of the Lord. Even now, they experience blessedness and peace in a fullness that we can only imagine. The understanding that life on earth is not the end of the line is central to the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the verses we know as the Beatitudes. That's probably one of the reasons there's been so much discussion concerning how to interpret them. Typically, when we speak of someone as blessed, it has to do with the abundance of what they have, or a difficulty from which they've been delivered. I'm sure you've had occasion to use the phrase, "I feel so blessed," in this sort of way. But listen again to what Jesus said. "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad." Gladness and rejoicing are hardly how we'd be inclined to respond to insult, persecution, and defamation of character. Quite the contrary. And if these things were to happen to us because of our connection with Christ, well, we'd be all the more disappointed. It's hard enough to endure the hardships that we brought on ourselves. Yet the challenge of these verses goes far deeper than that. While we may well find it difficult to recognize how the standards Jesus describes here have anything to do with blessedness, it's also hard to see how they apply to us. I don't know whether you identify with the words "poor in spirit." That's a phrase that's a bit ambiguous. Another way it's been translated is, "Blessed are those who recognize they are spiritually helpless." That is certainly not a recognition that comes naturally to you and to me. Far from it. We may not consider ourselves spiritually self-sufficient, but we tend to imagine that we can contribute at least something, that we're not completely and absolutely destitute or helpless spiritually. Well, there's probably not one of us who hasn't mourned. As it takes place in this list, Jesus seems to have in mind especially grief and sorrow over one's own wickedness. This sort of mourning also isn't something that comes naturally to us. Most often our mourning is a sorrow over what we want but can no longer have. A loved one taken from us by death, or some of the things that time takes from us. As for meekness, assertiveness and aggressiveness come far more naturally to us. And the righteousness for which we thirst is less the perfect righteousness God provides in Jesus than one which would vindicate us and condemn everything that doesn't meet our personal preferences. As for being merciful, think of the times that unfair treatment has come your way. Mercy was almost certainly not your first nor your strongest inclination. I'm afraid being a peacemaker falls at the same time. Too often we don't want peace until we've gotten in our lick, and then only want to make peace until our adversary has responded. As for the purity of heart, you know that Jesus was describing you and me when he said, "From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery," and on and on. The sad truth is that when we consider the standards Jesus enumerates in our text, it's hard to see how we could possibly expect blessedness to come our way. And that we haven't misinterpreted Jesus' words is clear from how he continues in the sermon. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And he puts the final nails in your coffin when he points out the true reach of the fifth and sixth commandments. That you're guilty of murder if you've been angry with another person, and of adultery if you've looked at someone lustfully. The sad truth is that what we heard from St. Paul last Sunday is precisely true about you and me. By works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. No one. The fact is that there's only one person who ever fully measured up to the standards of blessedness Jesus describes here. Jesus Christ, who shed tears of grief as he mourned over Jerusalem and prayed for those who crucified him and gave up his life to make peace with those who were his enemies. Jesus Christ is the one who is truly blessed. Yet he who had no sin was made sin for you. And he promises that in him you become the righteousness of God. Christ promised a trade, an exchange with you. The pure and white garment of his perfect righteousness in exchange for the filthy rags of your sin and failure. As assuredly as you will never be blessed through your own conformity to divine standards for behavior, just as assuredly you are truly blessed through faith in Jesus, your blessed Savior. In yourself, you have no hope. But because of what Jesus has done for you by his perfect life and his innocent death, through faith in him, you are eternally blessed and numbered even now with the saints. By God's mercy and grace in Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven is yours, even now. What a wonderful joy, then, to be able to celebrate the Feast of All Saints, assured of your blessedness through Jesus Christ, your Savior. As we join with the angels and archangels and all of the company of heaven, we are rejoicing also with those who departed this life in faith, saints who now rest from their labors. Thus we are encouraged to fight the good fight of faith until we too come to the fullness of blessedness that Christ has prepared for us. In the meantime, Christ's promises encourage us and strengthen us to trust and follow him, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, where even today he is making intercession for you in the presence of God. May God grant each of you the lively expectation of blessedness with Christ and all the saints, and strengthen you to live as his people until the day that he calls you to your eternal home. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.